This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Simple Health. Inner Hole Uprising.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rob, one pansexual, agender, feminist with a fatty, pronouns they, them, daddy.
We have two types of episodes on this here show. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. But for the month of August, we're just going with the flow a little bit. So you'll be hearing episodes with us as a group, or just two of us, or maybe three of us. So today, as you heard, it's myself and Rob the God. And today we're talking about some sexy motherfuckers, HPV, and why you should definitely go get a pap smear, more breakup tales, Sam's libido, a listener letter update, and a story about a sister with some troubling dating habits. But before we get into that, we have a couple of short segments, and they are
Bae of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive,
Ho of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans,
Self-Care Tip of the Week,
where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves,
and Date Tip of the Week,
where we give you cute date ideas.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag #InnerHoleUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag #PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Bae of the Week.
So this bae, before I expose who this bae is, they are an extremely, very like knowledgeable, smart individual. We have them at our sex trivia monthly, and it's been a blessing to have somebody so consistent and so just, you know, very spontaneous.
Yeah.
Able to come up with an antidote immediately.
Yeah.
Doesn't need any cues, nothing. And the crowd really responds very well to them.
Yeah.
They're also just super, super pretty.
Yeah.
Which does help. And also
pretty,
like,
and stacked.
Yo, I wasn't going to.
Oh, sorry.
I was trying not to be a creep. But I know that they know.
Oh,
but
that's
maybe
a fact.
They don't. And if they don't, you are, oh my God,
pretty stacked.
Like,
by
wart.
Stacked, we mean you got a nice body.
You got a nice, God, it's beautiful. It is. It is like, it is just another very nice,
she's a bad
black
bitch.
Body.
She's a bad
know?
Bitch.
But they post a lot about art, mm-hmm. and I'm like, damn, do they know that I'm an artist?
You guys should talk more.
We should.
The way you said it.
So to expose who that bae of the week, that is Miss Nika Marie.
Yes.
Nika has been a savior and a great liaison between us and the company that sponsors us. And it's
Babeland.
Just been, yes, Babeland NYC, mm-hmm. with the toys.
Yes.
Always with the toys, though.
Yeah. Nika's like, here's anal beads. Here's a butt plug.
That butt plug was on point, too.
Was it? I don't know anything about butt plugs.
It was a rainbow. It's just like, aesthetically,
aww,
it was like a
cute.
Rainbow, but it was like a big butt plug. And I was like, that's what a booty.
Thank you for telling everyone who my bae of the week
you're
is,
welcome.
But that is our collective bae.
Yes.
And the fifth honorary member of Inner Hole Uprising.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now Ho of the Week.
Ho of the Week.
My hoes of the week this week are I'm So Lovely, who's a Twitter user. Yeah, she's just so active on Twitter, and it's always really nice.
You're right.
I really appreciate the love. And then the Superman from Here For It Pod, who personally invited us to their pop-up in New York City.
Yes, that's
2 weeks
we'll be
from
there.
Now.
We'll
yeah.
be there.
We'll be out there twerking ass. So they're doing a pop-up in New York City. I would say everybody RSVP to the event because it seems like it's going to be a wave, but I think RSVPs are close.
Damn.
So
just try to pull up. Run down for the one time so you can get
well,
in.
Well, if you are pulling up, if you are a fan of Here For It Pod as well as Inner Hole Uprising, we will see you there.
Yes.
And I'm ready to have fun.
Oh, wait. And one hoe is Kunjo, only because my mom came to sex trivia, y'all. right? She comes
that
to sex
was
trivia.
Already fun. If you live in New York or around New York and you haven't come to a sex trivia, like, it's like every month there's something where it's like, I didn't expect this to happen, yes. But I'm having a great time.
She came, she looked super cute.
She always does.
She so literally fucking always cute. Does. My yeah. mom's so pretty, and I was just like so excited. Like, oh, my mom's here. I was excited right up until things got awkward because the first thing Nika says is, "Who likes anal?" And my hand is down because I'm like, and
even
I'm also
Rob
like,
loves anal.
And, yes, but I also didn't want to turn around. I didn't want to see my mom saying what's up. Love my mom, boundaries. But she was chilling at the table by herself, and Kunjo pulls up, who we're pretty acquainted. I was like, yeah, it's my mom over there. He's like, well, does she need a partner?
No. That's so sweet.
So yeah, thank you for hanging out with my mom. He hugged my mom twice, which I think about constantly because I think it's so funny. Because my mom is like me. She'll be hugging niggas. Yeah. She hugged y'all. But she loves y'all. Yeah, she's like, hiya, cool. But strangers, not so much. Yeah. So he hugs her and she was cool with that. She's like, he's my partner. Then when we were leaving, he hugged her again. He's like, you already hugged me.
That's mad funny because I did hug your mom twice. You said bye inside and then you said bye outside and she didn't say anything.
My mom loves you. She's known you for so long. She might not remember anything else.
She just remembered my name this year though. No, last year.
But she's not good with names. That's all I got. All
right. Now on to self-care tip of the week.
So especially because it's breakup season, right?
Yeah, unofficially, but officially.
Apparently. Yeah, it just kind of happens. And it might be that we're just noticing very much, especially because of like...
confirmation bias.
Yes. Damn, bitch. Sorry. No, fucking thank you. Like that was amazing. Honestly, I'm very happy that you plugged that in there because seriously, it is confirmation bias. You keep seeing it, so mm-hmm. it's like, oh my God, this thing that's happening, but it's not a phenomenon. Yeah, niggas break up every day.
Literally every day. Yeah.
But it is, it just seems to be happening mm-hmm. a lot, at least within our group. But
niggas be bugging though.
Niggas do be trash. Oof. Oof.
That is the phenomenon.
Yeah. So. The phenomenon is us realizing. Within the breakup season, I know that within my breakup and my friend's breakups, it's more like niggas start questioning themselves and like and questioning how do I keep going kind of thing because mm-hmm. I've done all these things with this person and now I have to do them all alone. So even before the breakup though, because I felt like it was coming, so I'm like, I gotta start doing shit by myself, like really, especially because me and my ex, we spent so much time in the fucking house and I am not a fucking house nigga. Like I like to do shit, especially on my days off, because I'd be so busy. So instead of waiting, I decided to go to a concert. Mm-hmm. I bought this motherfucking ticket by myself and was like, oh my God, I don't know what the fuck I'm getting into. But I'm like, this is
an
event.
You had a good time though.
I did.
Didn't you meet him?
It was incredible. Yes, I met Jay Electronico.
How did that happen?
I didn't
tell
you.
Were you on stage? No, I just saw it on your Instagram. Okay. I was like, this is lit.
The overall experience was absolutely amazing. And him, Jay Electronico himself was, he was perfect. But either way, it was like, cool, I want to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I know that my friend and more importantly, my boyfriend can come with me. Mm-hmm. But I want to go. So I'm going to fucking go.
That's a fact.
And then I also went to this plant thing. It was a plant swap. If y'all niggas don't know, I motherfucking love plants.
Plants are good.
Oh my God, I love plants so fucking much. Mm-hmm. I have so many. It's ridiculous. I'm like running out of space. I'm about to build some shelves. I love plants.
Nice.
And I didn't have that many plants until I went to this plant swap. I just saw this ad on Instagram. It was like literally niggas meeting up and swapping plants, cuttings, seeds, like just a swap. And then also it's information and you could buy stuff. Nice. It was really cool. And I went to this fucking thing with this plant I had in a box I packed up all night. And I'm just walking around with my plant, like nobody's talking to me. I ended up having a great fucking time. I met a lot of people. I bought a book, I bought a plant. I traded a plant for two plants.
Nice.
And they're doing okay. So buy tickets, attend an event without trying to find a mate to go with. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean not a bar, mm-hmm. not a party.
Yeah.
Because these are things that can also be very uncomfortable to be alone
at. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go to something with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So like if that's like your local botanical gardens, mm-hmm. that's a walk that you take and get to see all of these very pretty flowers. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the fucking zoo. I went to the zoo with my ex, but I could have definitely went to the zoo by myself and had the time of my life. Mm-hmm. And also you get to meet so many people. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a social person, I'm not that social, mm-hmm. but even like those small conversations, people who also go by themselves are typically also very into the thing that they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I met somebody at the concert who was also very into J Electronica. I met these random people who are also super into plants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an experience where it's not like niggas out here trying to make friends, but you can have genuine conversation about mm-hmm. the things that you love,
mm-hmm.
which you might not even be able to do if you go with somebody because you're focusing on them.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't care about
yeah, it. Yeah, if they don't like the thing, you're just so like, you're this is a mint leaf, nigga. Stop fucking asking me.
But then you can smell it. Like, eat it.
It's obvious. Yeah.
Or you're uncomfortable because they're uncomfortable because mm. they're doing this thing that they don't really want to do, but they're doing it for
point.
You.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that it might be anxiety inducing, but I think of it as a practice.
Hmm.
Like, it's not something that I necessarily, I was very nervous
to go to that concert.
Oh. And the plant swap. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, like, I had to talk myself into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to talk to my friends, like, my nigga, I could do this, right? Mm-hmm. It was very scary. Even something so simple. I knew that it'd be worth it. It'd be a good payoff. And I forced myself to do it. So it's not like niggas are saying, like, we're out here, like, no, like, you could do it. Anybody can do it.
I'm having a great time.
But it's an exercise.
I like that. That was really good self-care tip of the week.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I stand behind it fully. Date tip of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Do an adventure course. So yesterday, Aku and I went on an adventure course.
Okay.
And it was really fun.
Aww.
So I don't know where the fuck y'all live, but I do know a lot of you live in New York City. So I'm going to kind of skew a little bit towards New York City because we found a really cool one that I think is dope and accessible. So long as like you can actually do a course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't live in New York City, I'd encourage you to try to find one if it's like economically feasible or whatever. But here specifically in the city, in the greatest borough of all fucking time, Queens, you can do an adventure course for free. For full free. You can just be swinging from ropes for no fucking reason on a Sunday morning.
Did y'all niggas not take any pictures?
Yes, we did. You're not on Instagram anymore.
Oh. Wait, y'all did this after partying?
Yes. Me and Nicole had the littest weekend of
that
all time
so
just now.
Amazing.
We were fucked up at a pool party, chugged two Gatorades, woke up. Akua went to the gym. I fucking worked. I went back to sleep. Akua came back, picked me up. We went to the adventure course. Then we went out for Indian food in the city. Yeah, so in Queens, there is a park called Alley Pond Park. If you're in Queens, you might know that. If you're not in Queens,
there's a park called Alley Pond Park.
I just hate when people are like, oh, Queens, I never go there. Like, there's mad stuff here. Fuck you.
It's huge.
It's so big. There's so much food. There's mad parks. We have a stadium. We have fucking two stadiums.
Two stadiums, technically.
What the fuck? There's mad shit to do. But yeah, so if you go on their website or whatever, you can register. Oh, in August, you have to register. But in September and October, you just show up. You just show up on Sunday at 9 or at 1, and these niggas take you on a ropes course for free. It could be you by yourself. It could be you with a friend. It could be you with a partner. It could be you with your kids. So it was really fucking dope. I would encourage everyone to do that while the weather is still nice outside. And then I wanted to get a little bit more into New York specifics. So speaking of other free shit that you can do in Queens, you can go to the U.S. Open for free. Okay, so it's not
Elaborate,
it's
bitch.
Not always free.
It ain't free Serena like, there.
No, it's not. Well, technically it is. So when Serena is practicing during the qualifying, when like other like lower people who are like lower ranking tennis players mm-hmm. are qualifying, they're doing their real matches. Like Serena and Venus will be there like practicing on the practice courts. And you can go and watch that. When in your ever fucking life are you going to be able to see Serena Williams for free?
Bitch, can we go?
Yes, I go every year.
Why are you yelling at me?
Sorry. I just like seeing live sporting events. Like, yeah. I won't watch the shit on TV, but like seeing that shit up close.
I watch hockey.
I would watch hockey. I would watch hockey live.
I've never watched a fucking hockey game ever before or after.
It's just a different feel, especially like when you have a person to root for and you don't even have to be invested.
You just find a person.
You could flip a coin and be like, oh, I like that nigga's hair. I went to a Mets game with my dad and my brother a couple of weeks ago. There was a nigga who looked like Thor. I was like, I love that nigga. He looks like Thor.
I'm gonna root for you.
Exactly. So from August 19th to August 23rd, hit up Flushing Meadow Park and you could go and just watch tennis and walk around and like go for free. There's so much cool shit to do in New York, especially in Queens.
God damn it.
Let's plug some events now.
Okay. All right. So this event is Miss Vixen Bad Bitch Affirmation Workshop. So Miss Vixen in Real Life is an event series of workshops and conversations that center Black women and femmes through communal conversations. This is a space for us to affirm every bad bitch thing about us.
Boop, 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 boop.
They want thoughts on what you think about how your body feels, looks, and functions. Then they will go further to affirm that our bodies are enough It's a space free to get things out, take things in, and leave with new thoughts and feelings about your body and other women and femmes. This workshop allows entry via a donation of your choice, because you know niggas be poor. Or I donated like $5. That's all I have in my account. So the link to tickets in the description of this episode. And shout out to Miss Vixen Podcast. Miss Vixen is your destination for lit women's perspectives on pop culture, politics, media, and other insights of conversation, usually stolen from us from the mainstream to profit off of.
And I've been loving that podcast so far. She had Juju Bay on. Mm. She had Evian Whitney on. Mm. I haven't listened to the Vag Esteem episode yet. And then she also had Diamond Styles on. Very good episode.
Out here. Yeah. And I'm definitely attending this. I made space for this. I actually, these niggas tried to schedule me and said, no, you're scheduling me to open or mid because I'm going to this fucking world. I need to affirm my body.
Yeah, I'm very glad that that's happening. Shout out to Queen. All right, the next event that we would like to plug is Sex Trivia, our September edition.
We're going to be a whining boy.
Yeah, it's the Labor Day edition, which is quite lit.
Are you going to wear your flag?
Of course I am.
I'm going to wear mine too.
This event is always sponsored by Babeland, and it always happens at Love Story, which is a bar in Ridgewood and Bushwick in New York City. It's a pub trivia meets sexy Sunday meets party type event. There are free giveaways, twerking, drink specials, our lovely sex expert who we talked about, Nika. It's a free time. It's a lovely time. The link to register to play will be in the description of this episode, and we hope to see you there.
And my mom might be there.
Pay a hoe. If you love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhoeuprising.com and choose the Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly options. Pay a Hoe Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerhoe. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Hoe Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Ho Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Ho Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Hoe Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Hoe Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show. Fuck it, which is our topic of the day. And today, Rob is doing a very special topic of the day for us.
All right.
Tell us what it really is.
All right, my niggas. I'm finna talk to you about the human papilloma virus. I said that H, that P, that V. You got HPV. Yeah.
That was actually amazing, and I'm really not sure why.
I don't know where that came from. I didn't want to introduce it like it was like I'm about to talk about some wild fucked up shit.
HPV.
We all got it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm here to talk about HPV. So just a quick like tidbit, like why is this nigga mad randomly talking about HPV on this group episode with other people talking about their like lives and shit? So this is about my life.
Yes.
So I'll get into more of it because it's like deserves a little bit of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you, as a person with a vagina, mm-hmm. you go for your annual health exam.
Yes.
Your annual women's health exam. But mm-hmm. it's your annual vaginal health exam, which yes. they just fucking call it, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. And also, we're going to hear a lot of odd terms in here. It's going to be women, black and white, mm-hmm. right? That's all they care about. Science it's studies. Women, men, black and white. Hispanic, non-Hispanic.
We're the Asian people.
So there's only one thing that I got with Asian people, and it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. They don't be getting that shit. But really, a lot of like the real serious studies are black, white, women, non-women, men who have sex with men.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it finally occurred to me, like, oh, that's kind of transphobic.
Science do be flawed, though.
Yeah. So back up. We be fucking getting sucked into ethics and shit, right? So boom, you go in for your annual vaginal health exam. So your annual vaginal health exam might include a pap smear, mm-hmm. depending on your age.
Yes.
So right now.
And when you've gotten your most recent one in your history.
And when you got your most, and your status for any kind of HPV abnormalities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you are under 21, mm-hmm. you will not get a pap smear.
Yeah.
If you are over 21, you will get a pap smear every 3 years. Mm-hmm. If you are over 50 or postmenopausal, or had you had a hysterectomy, mm-hmm. and or your cervix removed, you will not get a pap smear unless you are at risk for high grade lesions. Mm-hmm. And it things fluctuate. Like if you've had abnormal pap smear, you'll get one every year.
Yeah.
For a couple years.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 or something like that.
And then if you've had high grade cells and or pre-cervical cancer, you'll have one every 6 months to a year. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us what a pap smear even is.
So a pap is papillomavirus, mm-hmm. human papillomavirus, the HPV, mm-hmm. the P in HPV. So a pap smear is when they literally smear mm-hmm. your cervical cells that they've gathered from a brush, mm-hmm. and they'll gently just touch, kind of like a cheek smear that you might have done in biology, mm-hmm. just touch your cervix, gather some cells, put them in a thing, mm-hmm. they'll smear it and they'll check for abnormalities, mm-hmm. right? So you send it, cool. Now, if you are over the age of 30, or if you specifically request and you're over the age of 25 and your insurance covers it, with that pap smear only checks for abnormal changes of the cells in your cervix. Mm-hmm. You can also have an actual HPV test, mm-hmm. which actually tests for certain HPV types. More than likely, it'd be the ones that cause cervical cancer.
So now tell us what HPV is.
So HPV, human papillomavirus, it is a virus that affects humans, mm-hmm. like other viruses affect other animals. This mm-hmm. is a human. We are the reservoirs for this virus. Mm-hmm. So this virus is like a double-strand DNA virus that attacks your mucus linings. Mm-hmm. So you have your vagina, your cervix, vulva, mm-hmm. rectum, penis. Those are like mucosal linings.
Your mouth?
And your mouth. Okay. But not specifically your mouth, like your throat, okay. and your tongue, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So you have over 50, 60 types of HPV. Mm-hmm. There's so many. A lot of them will clear up naturally. 1 to 2 years, you'll probably be asymptomatic, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have others. With those, you have several strains that also cause cancer. Mm-hmm. So in people with vaginas, it can cause cervical cancer, which is the most common. Also vaginal cancer and vulva cancer. And also rectal cancer, anal mm-hmm. cancer.
And throat cancer.
I was going to get to that bitch.
Sorry.
People with penises, mm-hmm. it can cause penile cancer mm-hmm. as well as anal cancer. And then for both, it can be throat cancer mm-hmm. or oropharyngeal cancers, mm-hmm. Which is interesting because a lot of cases of oropharyngeal cancers, they always link it to smoking. But now they're looking at research that suggests that 70% of oropharyngeal cancers may be caused by HPV.
Wow.
Because it's such an easy thing to get.
Yeah.
And you can't really test for it like that. Mm-hmm. And then with screening, as we said, if you're not over the age of 30, mm-hmm. they will not test you for HPV.
Yeah.
I am 27. I had a pap smear. I was not tested for HPV even after it was requested. Mm. When I was 17, so things changed. Because when I was 17 and I got my pap, I was tested for HPV. I found out I had HPV when I found out that I had precancer. I found that out at the same time. So, mm-hmm. but that was 10 years ago. A lot of things have changed. Even therapy has changed. Mm-hmm. But for people with penises, there really is no screening. Mm-hmm. The only time they will screen you is if you are immunocompromised or have HIV, mm-hmm. or if you are a person that predominantly receives anal sex.
Okay.
Because that just puts you at higher risk for certain kinds of cancers, like rectal cancer.
Right. Okay.
That is HPV.
Thank you.
So the mechanisms of transmission. Rub modes ass. Of transmission. Shut the fuck up.
But it's so easy, though,
no,
right?
Seriously. Yeah. The modes of transmission is oral, anal, vaginal.
Even if you're wearing a condom.
Even if you're wearing a condom. Yeah. So, of course, condoms will decrease the likelihood of transmission, but it doesn't eliminate it.
Right.
Because you can have this infection on parts that condoms do not cover.
Yeah.
So dental dams, they can help, but they won't eliminate it. Like, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Which is why it's one of the most common STDs in America. Mm-hmm. It has the highest prevalence rate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, you know, HSV-1 is right behind that. Mm-hmm. So that's why the
herpes simplex virus 1.
Yes. Herpes simplex virus 1. Check out our herpes simplex virus episode.
Yeah.
Like, the only way to just like really not get it is to seriously to abstain from sex.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about vaccines, right? Later.
Yes. Okay. I am going to get to vaccines.
Cool. Just in case you're like, well, actually, we are getting into that.
Yes. I just want to talk about like the prevalence rates. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just very interesting that HPV affects white women and white men at a higher rate than it affects other races, right? But white women tend to live longer. It's like, why?
Dum, dum, dum.
Social disparities, right?
But do you think that's because that they were treated quicker?
I think so.
Potentially.
So your race doesn't determine whether or not you stay alive exclusively. Just determines, like, what does it determine? It determines your access
whether or
to
not
healthcare.
You're seeing a doctor regularly.
Exactly.
Or yeah.
whether or not you even have like the money or the access to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Because, all right, cool. I am a black person with a vagina. I found out that I had abnormal cells and I got put on a wait list just to get a biopsy taken. I've been put on that wait list since May. It is now August 12th and I never got called. So I ended up doing it through the VA, which I'm very lucky to have. And they're probably going to bill me one day because I was just like going, like not asking whether or not I'm covered or not. Yeah. But I'm lucky to have that. I'm technically on that. I'm still on that wait list just to get seen.
Wow.
I've already had the fucking surgery and got the shit removed in that time frame. But this is months we're talking about. And granted, these cancers, the HPV causes cancers that are very slow growing.
Right.
But still they grow. And
but like if you're someone who doesn't know the gravity of that or whatever,
you just
and like
chilling.
You're going to work or you're taking care of kids or you have two jobs or something like
and
that, you're just like,
your
you told me some weird shit about my vagina. Like I have shit to do and I'm not going to fucking be out here calling every day because I don't have the time to call a day to move up on somebody's wait list.
And all it takes is, you know, it takes a couple years, but then that's all it takes.
Yeah.
You have no symptoms until what? Until you got this fucking late stage cancer.
So tell us what abnormal cells even means.
So abnormal cells, just, you got your cervix.
Right.
You got a regular ass, pink ass, nice looking cervix. And then,
that is a fine cervix you got
fine
there.
Fine cervix you got there. It might be a shame if I poke it.
I just want to say, like, when men say, I'm hitting your cervix, I don't think pap smears feel good. And that is literally just brushing your cervix. It's not even like jamming in there.
And I don't,
it's
I don't
just
like
a brush. It feels like I'm cramping from my
off
period.
Rip.
Yeah.
Off rip. It feels like
and I
cramping.
Feel bad for like a couple of days later.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And then when niggas touch my cervix, I'm like, please.
Don't do that.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I don't like it at all. And the more I get my cervix touched, the more like my doctors, the more sensitive it becomes.
Yeah. So. And how about the fact that like the G spot is much lower than that? You
much
motherfuckers.
Fucking lower.
It's actually pretty low because it's attached to the clitoris because it's a part of the clitoris. Look how many things we're dispelling here today. Wow.
Yay.
My god. Okay.
What are you asking?
Abnormal cells, like what does that
okay.
mean?
Okay, so abnormal cells, yeah, they're just, it's basically changes on your cervix. So if you have cells that are not normal,
right.
cervical cells growing in your cervix, you have an abnormal cell change.
Yes.
And there's different levels to that, different names for that. Like they call it dysplasia, they call it precancer, they call it high grade cells or high risk cells. There's like sin one, sin two, sin three. There's like a lot of terms for it, but all that means is that you have changes on your cervix that are not normal. And it can mean nothing. You can have abnormal cells that are completely benign, which has happened to me, but you could have abnormal cells that are precancerous, which means that it's almost definitely turned to cancer if left untreated. Mm-hmm. You can have high grade cells that there's a good chance that if this is left untreated, it will turn into precancer. It's just a lot of stages, but right. It all essentially means that you just have abnormal changes on the face of your cervix.
Yeah.
And maybe even further. Yeah. So once you do a pap smear and they're like, okay, cool, you have abnormal cells, the next step is to look at your cervix. Because just because you have abnormal cells doesn't necessarily mean that you finna get cancer, or it doesn't mean anything at that point. Mm-hmm. So they'll schedule you for a colposcopy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I never even got from my main provider.
Right.
Like, I just couldn't get that far. Mm-hmm. So colposcopy is when they just look at your cervix and tell, okay, cool, you have abnormal cells in this area.
Right.
So typically when they see abnormal cells, then they'll biopsy it. Mm-hmm. This shit ain't fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun because when they do a colposcopy, it's not a very good feeling when they biopsy you, because they're literally, you know, cutting. And you can hear the sound at that too. And this is my reality, and it hasn't been a good time, but it's important, you know. Yeah. And I really want to share that with you, that the pain is not worth the pain of fucking cervical cancer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So but they'll biopsy it, but the thing is that they don't use local anesthesia. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the biopsy, they'll send it off. So within a couple weeks, depending on how fast your shit works, you'll get either a phone call like, hey, your abnormal cells came back benign, which is dope. So then it's like, okay, cool. We'll just check back in a year and make sure that it's the same thing. Or you'll hear something like you had high-grade abnormal cells, mm-hmm. or you had precancerous cells. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens, you have to get another surgery. Now, when I did it when I was 17, I had cryotherapy, which is when they freeze your cervix, mm-hmm. and they scrape off the abnormal cells.
Right.
There's no local anesthesia. It is very painful.
Jesus Christ.
But for this, when I mentioned that to my doctor, he like looked at me like, we don't do that anymore.
That's funny.
And it was like, damn. It was like, what you trying to... like?
Dated. That
nigga said, you showing your age, sis. Like, it was so funny.
In the olden days.
Like, fucking ancient surgery.
Freeze and scrape.
I was like, so what the fuck do y'all niggas do? So now they do something called a LEAP. Essentially, they use an electrified like loop to just scrape the cells off. They ground you. They give you local anesthesia, mm-hmm. which, oh my fucking God, bitch, that shit does not feel good. It feels fine after they shoot that shit, but initially, no, it's very painful. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's an intramuscular shot. It just had to go very far into my cervix, which he did not really adequately warn me. Oh, so I screamed and I cried, but it's a very quick procedure. Mm-hmm. After the Novocaine is essentially painless. It's just very...
the process of it, yeah.
But I had some really nice attending nurses.
Good.
So that's the whole fucking trajectory. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they remove what they deem to be abnormal, and it takes this pretty hefty healing process. It was way different than the other surgery. I could barely fucking walk.
So last time you had precancer, this time it was just abnormal cells.
It was high-grade abnormal cells.
Gotcha.
So it was like the level before precancer.
Gotcha.
But equally as fucking scary.
Yeah.
I probably got it when I lost my virginity. Literally, I had sex with my ex maybe once, mm-hmm. twice. And once was unprotected, which was not of my choice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got HPV off rip. And then that's what happened. So then when I got it this time, I'm like, cool. When the fuck did I get HPV? But then that's the thing. It's like, you really don't know.
Yeah.
I could have gotten it fucking years ago.
Yeah.
Like, and I probably did get it years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you just really don't know. You can't trace it to nobody. Mm-hmm. And it's like, more than likely, nigga, everybody, you fucking got this shit. Let's back up. Cervical cancer does not cause HPV, but it has to be there in order for cervical cancer to happen.
HPV has to be there.
Yes, HPV has to be there. Mm-hmm. So HPV is a carcinogen, right? Mm-hmm. Carcinogens are things that like cause cancer, but mm-hmm. they also need other things. Because if that was the case, everybody who got HPV would have cancer.
Right, so genetics, environment, things mm-hmm. like that.
Plenty of things. Mm-hmm. Like tobacco variables. Could be a carcinogen, but not everybody who smokes off rip gets cancer.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of factors that plays into that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, cool. If I've gotten this far and I have these high grade cells, I more than likely have HPV. Mm-hmm. So I can say twice in my life I've had HPV.
Right.
And that means they're more than likely two different strands.
Here's a question that I had. So, gone through something similar-ish to you. My first ever pap smear, I think. Maybe it was my second pap smear because I had stopped, like, giving a shit about those because I didn't have any new sexual partners and nobody told me like the importance of pap smears.
Yeah, like regardless,
I just knew
right?
it was something that you had to get, but I was like, why? Like, you just checking in my pussy?
Yeah.
I didn't really even understand that it had a link to HPV mm-hmm. and cervical cancer, mm-hmm. right? So maybe my first or second pap smear, which I actually talked about this like at length on the show. I got it done when I was home watching my mom who was sick with cancer mm-hmm. and I just like went for a regular ass checkup and they told me like weeks later, like, yo, this is like what this means and it could be this. And I was just like so fucking scared that I didn't.
Yeah,
I never even went back to the doctor because I was like, you have cancer? I'm not going to be out here like finding out that I have cancer too. I cannot deal with that. Like, I don't even know what my mind was thinking or I didn't have anybody to like tell me like, if this is something, you should get it checked out now so that you don't fucking get cancer.
Because it could take care of it ASAP.
Yeah, it's not, it's like, it's an easy, if you do have cervical cancer and they catch it early, like in the precancer stage,
fine.
It's extremely easy to treat. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so frustrating that so many people die off of it or whatever.
It's the most treatable cancer
exactly,
in the world.
Exactly, exactly. And like vaccines. I didn't know
Literally,
that then either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like that happened and I was like, fuck man, I'm never going. Like my doctor was like up the block and I just would not fucking, I would not schedule the fucking appointment because I was so scared. Maybe like 7 months later, I was finally like, okay, it's time, like do this or whatever. And they, I think they just retested. I don't remember now because it's so many years ago. And then also like my mind from that time is like nothing because like trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't abnormal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
because it clears up.
Exact. So like, did I have HPV or was it just abnormal cells?
So
in my mind, I'm always like, okay, I had HPV at some point.
And it's, I think it's safe
because they would
that.
Never be just your cells are just like, whoop. Like,
let me just
we feel a bit different
okay,
today.
Ladies, now let's get information.
Just random wilding out for no reason. So yeah, so, okay,
yeah.
That's something that I always question. But
so it, you can say more than likely,
right?
You did
probably
have HPV.
Yes,
HPV typically clears up within 1 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might
on
have some abnormalities, but yeah, they can clear
right
up.
Which honestly, that's exactly what the doctor said. She was like, you're young, you're healthy, this is probably like going to ultimately be nothing, just come back so we can retest you. And I was just like, never. I'm so scared.
Have you went back?
Huh?
Have
yeah, I get a pap smear every year now.
You,
nigga, I've been vaccinated. I'm not I'm not silly anymore.
Okay.
But like, it was like a really traumatic time. But after that, when they told me that it was like fine, I was like, okay. They were like, come back for a pap smear in 6 months. And then I did that. And then after that, they were like, okay, we'll regulate you to a year. And now I go every year.
And then they're going to be like, okay, cool, you're good. And then it's going to be every 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I think I have like 2 years left until I get to that point. And then since then, I've done all three vaccines for HPV.
See, I wasn't
for the 9 strains.
I wasn't that strong. I went back after the 6 months and it was fine when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a pap for mad long after that.
It's scary, especially when you're young. I think we kind of just like stave off illness and death.
I thought I was going to fucking die.
Exactly.
I was like, bitch, I have cancer?
Yeah.
Like your brain
and then when you're so young, you're just like, what the fuck is this? Like me? It doesn't even make...
And then at the time too, the only reason why I even found out, I didn't go for a pap smear.
Mm-hmm.
A bitch had chlamydia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like bleeding during sex. I'm very confused. Like,
and that's also
going on
with the pap smear. They can test for gonorrhea and chlamydia
because it's all like, you know, just, I mean, your shit's already open. Soup. They do a swab.
Yeah.
It's not the same cells, but they just do a swab within your coochie.
Yep.
But it's mad simple because with the HPV test too, they can either use the sample from your pap smear.
Mm-hmm.
So they send it to the same facility or while they're already up there, they just swab for HPV. It's pretty simple things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I was scared. So I staved off for a while. When I got another one, the shit was abnormal again. I was like, bro, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah.
And even then,
you
still don't understand.
My arch nemesis.
But I still don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Even having that surgery
mm-hmm.
at 17, I still didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
Right.
I just knew HPV, abnormal cells, and then I had surgery, and then I was fine.
Right. Yeah.
I did not understand that I had something that was sexually transmitted, but almost everybody named mama fucking God.
There's so much that you just don't know about.
That's why I'm here. And now you're talking about the vaccines. So boom. Another thing about access.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what I told you. Remember when I went to the gynecologist? Oh, not the gynecologist. I went to my doctor. So this is my first time being like my primary care doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, test me for everything. I want to make sure I'm alive. And then I asked her, hey, so what about the vaccine against HPV?
Mm-hmm.
She said, how old are you?
Yeah.
I'm 27. She's like, yeah, no, you can't get that. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that they changed the age to be above 27.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, well, yeah, but insurance companies haven't caught up.
Yeah.
Right. She dubbed my shit. Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of putting in the request and just letting it get fucking denied.
Mm-hmm.
She literally dubbed my shit, or saying, well, if you still want to, here's other resources. No, she just said, no, it's a dub.
Yeah.
Now, me being on this show and also having this degree, I know that that's not true.
Right.
So I can do the work to make sure I get it.
Right.
But another person who doesn't listen to this show or doesn't have access to sex experts and sex things like that,
mm-hmm.
or did not get a fucking degree in this shit,
right.
they would have been dubbed. And then that's it.
Yeah.
For how
just
long?
Like, oh,
until
shit.
There's a fucking commercial about it, right?
Right.
So that's like, that's literally access right there.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, a vaccine isn't going to change what I already had,
mm-hmm.
but it can prevent me from getting the fucking,
because
it prevents against, protects nine. Against, yeah, the highest one is 9.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get one that's 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quadrivalent and 9-valent.
Mm-hmm.
Gardasil 9, Gardasil 4, things like that.
So if you've ever seen a commercial for Gardasil, that's what that is.
Yes, Gardasil is the main non-generic maker for that vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah,
and yeah, they have, because there's 9 strains. There's way more than 9 strains, but mm-hmm. then they have like the 9 most prevalent strains that cause
cancer
and genital warts.
Yeah,
yeah, and that vaccination, like, they want people to start getting it at like as early as 11,
right?
Before you even start having sex, so you can be completely protected.
Exactly,
because there's no research right now that says A, it loses its strength.
Mm-hmm.
Or that says that it doesn't work. Like, we're old. This vaccine came out when we were already a lot older, and a lot of other people were aged out. But
actually, I do remember it. I remember the commercials when I was fairly young, but I was too. So like, I saw them and I saw that they were like, oh, if you start having sex, like, this is something that could happen. That's bad. And I was just mm-hmm. like, oh, that's like something that, you know, like when you see something, you feel a way about it, but you're not like smart enough to understand why you feel a way. And I also like, both my parents were fairly open, but I never like really talked to them about sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never going to go to either of them and be like, hey,
can I get a Gardasil vaccine?
Yeah, exactly. Because then that fosters another conversation of like, well, are you having sex?
Yeah.
And I didn't even think my parents at the time would have been like, bitch, get the fuck out of my house or something
right,
like that.
But, just,
but I just didn't want to have that conversation.
Like, who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so like,
weird.
That's another thing for like people who are, because people who listen to this show, they might be at the stage of just being aged out, even though they've changed the thing. I think it's to 40 now.
Yes.
Yeah. So keep that in mind for yourself. But then also, like, in a couple of years, like, this is something that, like, a Kua son might be able to
exactly.
have or something like that. Like,
exactly.
Because you can start at, what, 11?
Yeah, you can start at 11. And, I mean, the main
and
thing
you don't
is,
have to think about your kid as a sexual object. You're just thinking about your kid as somebody who you're protecting.
But when they become an adult.
Exactly.
And they do start having sex, you help them to... You prevented them from getting cancer and genital warts by literally letting them get a vaccine because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you start getting infected with strains, that's more risk that becomes involved with that. And then, it becomes less effective because you already have those strains in your body
mm-hmm.
and then you get that latent reinfection.
Yeah.
That vaccine, if you got HPV 16,
mm-hmm.
you got HPV 16,
mm-hmm.
you might clear it up,
but
you're still going to have that in your body for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a vaccine that prevents against HPV 16, it don't matter for you. It's a dub. Been done off,
mm-hmm.
you know. So now me, there's 6, more than likely 6 out of, and maybe even more.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I'll be having sex and shit.
Yeah.
But at least 6 out of the 9 are the only ones I can be protected by.
Yeah.
You know. But not to say that, I just mean that if it is true that insurance companies ain't catching up, I age out. If my insurance company does me, and our listeners are some of them are significantly older than me, so
mm-hmm.
it can be. And some of them, in general, they aged out. You know, they might push it to be after 40 eventually, but for right now, it's just not really that effective. And also, they believe that after 40, your risk for these kinds of issues have significantly decreased.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about the process of doing the vaccinations? So
yeah, you go.
It's usually three. I think it's always three, right?
Yeah, it's three.
Yeah, so you have to do them in stages, right? So if you are on the and you don't want any problems with your insurance and you're on the cusp of aging out, like I want you to like make the appointment right fucking now, because right. That's what I did. I was just like, I think I was like 24, and I was like, because it's three vaccines over the course of 9 months, I believe. And I was like, I don't want any kind of problems. And I also was like aging out of my parents' insurance.
Remember?
Too.
And I told so you niggas. Like,
I don't know. I what was the like, fuck.
Don't wait till you turn 26, niggas.
Yeah, exactly. So, you do the first one and then you do the second one 3 months after. And then you do the third one 6 months after that. Some people talk about the fact that it's like painful. Everybody's tolerance for pain is different. And for me, it didn't hurt that bad.
Shots can be painful, but yeah. It just be painful for the time.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't that anthrax serious for me
horrible,
personally.
So I get
you
it.
Got a shot for anthrax?
Yeah, three shots.
Why did you have to do that for the army?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten so many shots. I should probably be dead.
Is that the opposite of how they work?
Right.
But yeah. So, and then some people like I think they feel like particularly woozy afterwards. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because like so like they. This is like nine things that they're putting in your body, like dead in viruses or whatever. So it might be because of that, or it might just be because like as you're older, you're not getting as many shots as you did when you were a kid. So you're just like, whoa, and then people feel woozy or whatever. So like generally they'll say like, you know, relax for a little bit. You can sit in the office and then you can go. But the process is fairly simple. Just like if you are on that cusp, like
do it.
Yeah.
Take care of it. I wish I did. I really do wish that when it did come out, my mom was like, I'm gonna take care of you, bitch.
Yeah.
Because it would have avoided a lot of these issues because this shit is costly. I'm so lucky to be doing this for free. I don't got insurance right now. Bitch, you think I'm paying to get this cervix scraped?
No, that's...
This bitch finna get some tumors.
Yeah, I don't even know how much that would cost.
I couldn't imagine.
Seems like a grip.
If the appointment is $75 just to go talk to a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you know they finna charge you full price. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna be nice about it. Yeah. So, screw.
That was very informative, Rob. I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm glad you
did that.
Thank you, bitch.
Yeah. I hope that this resonates with anyone listening, whether it be like you doing your child, your younger sibling, your fucking friends, anybody.
Like, niggas get STDs.
Yeah.
The point is, do you take care of it?
Exactly.
Can you take care of it? Mm-hmm. Do you even know that you need to take care of it? Like, it's just so much, like, just levels of fucking knowledge and really understanding, but also, like, literally removing this dumbass stigma.
Oh, here's another thing. If you do not have a vagina, you have a penis, you should still have this vaccination also.
Yeah. Oh. I guess I kept saying people.
Yeah.
Just assume you niggas knew.
You, can one just be a carrier and you can have it and you can give somebody that you love or somebody that you don't love. Who wants to give somebody a cancer causing virus?
Either way, right?
Just like as for the greater good. Mm-hmm. But then also like you can have genital warts or I think this also protects against the throat cancer one.
Yeah, no, but you can also get penile cancer.
Yeah, or rectal
and rectal cancer.
Rectal cancer, yeah.
There's cancers. And penile cancer, you're less likely to survive if you get penile cancer than you are for cervical. Less likely to survive if you get penile cancer, vaginal cancer, and rectal cancer. Mm. So, no.
So, yeah, everybody, you know, just care.
Yeah.
Just care out here.
And I mean, it's not, if you have access to it, your insurance will typically cover it. And it's just nothing.
It will.
It's nothing to save potentially your life and the life of somebody that you love.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you for that, Rob. Let's go into our next segment. If you have any like comments on that or whatever, please, ihupodcast@gmail.com, whether they be questions or some fact-checking or whatever. Because, you know, niggas is not like scientists.
You know, a little degree.
We're just two bitches who have had HPV.
Right? Two bitches
sitting
with HPV.
Sitting in a hot-ass room.
But I think I did all right.
That was really good. All right, now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our sponsor. So I've been thinking about going back on birth control lately. One, this libido is too damn high and I have to protect myself. And two, I have a lot of symptoms while I'm PMSing that are just bringing my quality of life down and not allowing me to be as great and productive as I like to be. So if you're like me and deciding to get back on birth control for whatever reason, you might want to listen more about our sponsor, Simple Health. Simple Health is really revamping birth control access in the U.S., and to be honest, it's about time. Simple Health is here to make your healthcare, you guessed it, simple, starting with online birth control prescriptions and free home delivery. if you have any idea what it's like to live with a uterus in this country, you know that the healthcare system can prevent people from getting the care that they need, whether it's insurance barriers, income, or physical location. So Simple Health thought of a better way. With Simple Health, you can get birth control prescribed online and delivered to your door each month for free, and it's convenient, affordable, and safe. Whether you're already on birth control, looking to get back on, or want to try it for the first time, Simple Health has got your backs, my dudes. Here's how it works. So you go to simplehealth.com/inner, where you'll fill out a comprehensive online health profile and answer some questions formulated to get the best birth control for you, your body, your preferences, your insurance situation. They take it all into account. Then a licensed doctor will review your information, determine if you're a good candidate for birth control, and write you a prescription for the right method. Whether you know the exact brand you want or you want a recommendation, they can prescribe over 100 trusted brands of the pill, as well as the patch and the ring. Then your birth control ships to your door for free. With automatic refills, you'll never have to worry about forgetting a refill or missing a pill again, which is so important to me. I remember my old gynecologist would drag ass when it came to refilling my prescription, which would leave me in a bind month after month. Simple Health is awesome because they put folks with uteruses in control of their own health in a world where our health policy is dictated by legislators or insurance plans. They truly believe that access to a doctor, insurance, or cost should never prevent anyone from getting birth control, and they're helping cut down those barriers. You don't just have to take it from me. Simple Health has already been rated 5 stars by hundreds of folks, and you can check out the reviews on their website. Best of all, Simple Health is free with most insurance plans, so you can pay absolutely nothing to use this service every month. For those without insurance, it's still generally affordable. Pills start at just $15 a month, and monthly shipping is free for everyone. Now, the annual prescription is usually $20, but our listeners can try Simple Health for free by just going to simplehealth.com/inner or by using code INNER at checkout. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor, and you still need those for your overall health, but this is the most convenient and comfortable way to get your birth control. Again, don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free by going to simplehealth.com/inner or just enter code INNER at checkout. That's INNER. So if you're a person with a uterus of reproductive age, this is going to save you a lot of time and money. And if you're not, well, tell someone in your life about Simple Health and help improve our access to healthcare. Everybody wins. Now let's get back to the show. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love the party on the weekend. She love the party on the weekend. All right, next segment.
Fuck me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. I did want to tell you a funny story that I didn't tell you, but Rodeca and Akuono. So I was talking to this nigga. He is friends with someone who you used to talk to. And I told you that. And you were like, ew, trash. And I threw away that warning. We're talking from like June-ish to, because like this all stopped like mid-July or something like that. We're talking from June-ish to July. In June, he's like, blah, 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 I'm trying to take you out or whatever. And he says a day. He says like Saturday or something like that. Saturday comes, he just, nothing happens. MIA, okay. As they do. I look on his Instagram, he's with his ex-girlfriend. And I'm like, okay, I don't really think that there's anything there, and I'm not too pressed about it, so I just forgot about it. After the weekend is over, he hits me up like he never suggested that we should hang out in the first place. I'm like, okay, niggas being niggas. Mm-hmm. Then on my birthday, he's like the evening of my birthday, like the evening before my birthday, he's like, oh, let me take you out or whatever. I was sick, so I was just like, nah, that's a dub. That was the second time. Then once more, he says, like, he made a joke about the Lion King or something like that on his Instagram, like the fact that it was going to be bad or whatever. I'm like, yo, if it's bad, we ride or whatever, because, you know, Lion King means a lot to me. He's like, oh, okay, so it's a date. And I'm like, yeah, it's a date. We'll skate together. Then the week that the Lion King comes out, I think I was in New Orleans, but I was coming back that weekend. He's like, Lion King Saturday? I'm like, yeah, okay, like, let's see if this actually fucking happens this time. Lion King Saturday, cool. Saturday comes. No, Friday came. We spoke for the last time that Friday, like the Friday that the Lion King came out. I said something. He never responded back. Saturday, he says nothing to me. So Sunday, I went to see it with Akua because I fucking needed to see the Lion King. Then Monday morning, because I'm tight now, because you said this is the third time this happened.
Yeah.
You said that you were going to hit me up. You fucking didn't hit me up or whatever. And now you haven't hit me up all weekend. Monday morning, I'm on my toilet taking a shit, just like going through my Instagram or whatever. And I see this nigga's fucking story and I'm like, oh, I hate you now. So it's time to do like the soft mute, block or the mute, something, just like get out of my space. I'm not trying to see your bullshit. I go on. Oh my God. So at first, his, because I remember details, his Instagram bio, because he has two kids. So it was like an emoji of him and two sons.
Oh no, it changed to the one with the wife?
It changed to the one with a wife and two sons, nigga.
Swim back around. What the fuck?
Men are out of their mind, bro. And like,
and how did you not know
that you were about that you were fully about to get back together with? Nigga. That makes no sense, bro.
But he look who he was friends
with.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. You're right.
Birds of a feather flock to motherfucking really get a bitch.
They really do flock together.
I said together.
But like,
wow.
We had had conversations about both of his baby moms. And you know what? Honestly, like, I respect the fuck out of a single parent.
Yeah.
I revere Akua, but these niggas who are single parents, I'm not fucking with dads anymore. I'm not. They're out of their, like, it's either like they're complaining about their baby mom, and I'm like, I feel like she was probably in the right. I just know for a fact that she's probably in the right and you're probably wilding right now, so I just don't trust you. Or some shit like, yo, any given moment,
I'm about to get.
Like, we've had conversations about both of these people, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm really not compatible with da-da-da. And like, not even on my accord. I don't really give a fuck about these niggas. I don't be bringing shit up like that. Like, they just offered this kind of information. And I'm just like, okay, heard you. Like, oh, you're not really with your baby mom like that or whatever. And then also, like, just simply changing, like, important things about your life via Instagram emoji. Isn't that a bit strange? Isn't that an odd behavior?
Bitch, it's childish.
That's very childish.
I'm dead.
So I was just like, wow, okay. But, like, Friday we had been talking. So, like, what was this grand Saturday like where you just, like, you're a fucking family now, my nigga. What happened? What did that mean? Whatever.
Don't
so
even.
I thought that I muted him, but maybe I didn't, because I don't think Instagram is like wild. But the very next day I'm back on Instagram and I see this nigga's fucking story and I'm like, why are you doing this to me? I just muted you. So then I go back and the emoji has changed once again. Not to him and the two sons, it's just one him, one son. This nigga dropped a child, bro. He dropped a full child. In a day.
This nigga said, I have no kids. I have one kid. Did he get a what if he got a DNA test?
But.
And then Hatsa was like, okay, that's not my kid. I know I raised you for all these years, but I'm not your daddy.
But in the span of 48 hours, it was like, girl, we're in love. Now there's a DNA test now.
A fucking drama.
Via Instagram emoji.
Wow.
Via Instagram emoji.
You need to write a book, bitch, on this man.
These niggas are not okay, bro. I was just like, oh shit, wow.
That is really
You motherfuckers
funny.
Are weird and wild.
Like, that's really, like,
it's hilarious. It's actually hilarious.
Oh my God.
And then just like, I don't know, like, do you think I'm a fool?
Right.
Like, because I can guarantee, like, if I hit him up after that, which I haven't on purpose.
And he'd be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
like,
what's
nothing happened.
Yeah, no, girl, no, nigga, I saw on your story, your girl, fucking little movie on your story.
Sam, you already know. You've seen firsthand what his boy does. Let's just do some spiteful shit and then post the beautiful family portraits. Oh, baby, I love you so much. You mean everything to me. I never want to lose you.
Niggas are not okay,
and was literally
bro.
Crawling in my vagina, and it was wild. And you feel me? It's like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, do your dirt, but bitch. And then, because those be the same niggas who be like, I could never do an open relationship.
Exactly. Like, you've always been in one, nigga. I don't understand.
It might have been one side.
You've
open.
Always been non-monogamous.
Because
the fuck
more
you mean?
Than likely, they usually keep a pretty good relationship with them.
Mm.
But when the nigga is trash, it'd be a toxic ass relationship on some, I don't even claim you in public or in private, but every once in a while, I need niggas to know that I got somebody.
Yeah.
So I'll pull you out of the handbasket. Yeah, my baby mama's been so good to me. Da, da, da. I love her with all my heart. None of you bitches can compare. I've seen it. I've seen it with my brother.
But just now, not compatible at all. Not for me. I don't think I could ever see us being together ever again.
And then the nigga goes to Macy's to get the photo shoot.
Ah.
Like, what? It's just, ugh.
Yeah. That was
So no, yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm done with niggas with kids too.
Quite interesting.
So yeah. I got you. I'm all, and it's like I'm not gonna like discriminate. Like I don't wanna discriminate against people with children. But nah, in the same
but you
accord,
niggas, you can get this fucking work. Another thing that they'll do, the person who I was dating last, who I hate, he would do this thing where like, and honestly, good riddance. Red flags. So many red flags that I fucking ignored. 27 is really the year where you fully understand, though. Mm-hmm. I was 26 then. He would, like, kind of blame being unavailable on his kid.
That's fucked up.
But, like, you've always had that kid. Since I know you, you had that kid. Niggas, but now, all of a sudden, like, that doesn't make sense. And then also just, like, Aku is, like, the most attentive mother I know.
And
she's not
it.
Taking 6 days to get back to me.
Yes.
You're not going to blame that on a child who you watch once a week.
I literally,
your baby mom,
like,
is watching your child.
What are you doing?
She is the main caretaker of your child. You are not. So why are you so fucking busy?
I'm thinking about my child for 6 days a week.
My kid is on my mind. My kid is on my fucking mind.
I can't text you.
Just
no.
Fake
kids
and
are
weird.
Excuses.
Exactly.
For some men, kids are excuses.
Exactly.
For some men, kids are lapdogs. Like, oh, I have my child to make me feel better about myself.
Right.
So, like, even though I'm, like, the shittiest parent on earth, well, my child
loves
me. For
some men, kids are thirst traps.
Bitch. Kids are thirst traps. Kids are sources of income. Like, I could read.
It's just all bad, honestly. And then just, like, that same nigga would say, like, I don't know her life or whatever. But he would say weird things that I should have just been like, yo, fuck you, son. Like, he would be like, oh, you know, my baby mom or whatever. She, like, doesn't do anything. All she wants to be is a mom. That's labor. She's taking care of your kid. And he'd be like, oh, you know, and she always wants to go on these, like, trips, these $1,000 trips. I'm like, nigga, I want to go on $1,000 trips, too. Who the fuck doesn't want to? And you better take care of that bitch. I don't. I'm done with dads. I'm done with crazy niggas. That's the moral of this story.
Let's get it.
It's still the one son and one dad.
I'm fucking crying. That nigga never regain his fucking half family back.
You hate to see it.
Nigga's literally a single parent. Yeah, a single parent to one single individual child.
That's wild, though, because, like, the one dad and the two sons, but both of those children are living with their moms. Shit. So maybe it should just be you by yourself.
Girl, just...
Maybe it should just be one single
one
emoji.
One black nigga
with
emoji.
A fucking fedora. Why do you wear fedoras, nigga? That's a full shot fired. Your style is actually garbage.
Nigga, come on.
I hyped you up because I wanted to go on a date with you. Your style is actually trash.
We have bad taste. And the people we decide to fucking like fuck. Let's be honest. Not in the people that we decide to date because they seem like good people, but
in the people
that we really be like, I just want to
have sex
with you.
On some cute shit. On some like whatever shit.
They're just literally, they're not, they're sometimes, most of the time, I mean, they could be cute, but in like a weird way.
Yeah.
But they have wild just like flaws that could be
OD
fixed,
red flags.
And you're just like, wow, like you're trash.
Yeah.
And now I can't unfuck you, so I'm happy that you didn't fuck him.
Me too.
Because
me too.
His friend.
But that's what
I
I'm
can't
talking
unfuck.
About. Yeah.
And if I could take this nigga out, this pussy, I would.
Yeah.
I'd pull him out by the ball sack. Ugh. He's one reason why I deleted my Instagram. I was tired of niggas watching my stories.
Mm.
Like I just all these niggas.
Mm.
And I'm like, I can't block you all because I hate you all. So I'm just gonna disappear.
Okay.
Miss me because I know you're not gonna hit me up.
Right. What's going on with you?
All right. Well, I'm single, clearly. Me and Mark broke up. It's been great. Just kidding. I cried for like 2 days.
Okay.
I mean, it was mutual. It was really funny. We were sitting. He's like holding my feet. I'm laying between
Some
his
character.
Legs. He's holding my feet. And then we broke up in a very odd position. It was
he still holding your feet?
Mm-hmm. As I was crying.
Okay.
It was really odd, but it's just because we're just chilling in bed and we just got to talking and then mm-hmm. we're like, all right, let's just cut the bullshit.
Yeah,
this shit
this
ain't fucking
working out,
and I'm like, I love you so much and I know that if we keep forcing it,
okay,
like, we keep forcing this shit, I'm gonna fucking hate you
there
and
you
I'm
go.
Not gonna want to talk to you and like you mean so much to me. If we stop right now,
yeah,
we could save this.
That's good. Not healthy.
Yeah, it was healthy. And also, like, I really didn't want to do it. But mm-hmm. I'm like, bitch, somebody got to be strong. So I did it. And he's like, you know, I agree. He's like, I don't want to lose you. And I'm like, but you can't keep holding on to me, bitch. I ain't no object. Like,
right.
You got to let go. So it was more like a, it's a breakup break, right?
Okay.
So we're not together. And we're just going to reassess
okay.
in a month, right? But I'm thinking that there is like, this is it. And not in like a bad way, but I'm realizing like I haven't seen him really. I've seen him maybe twice. It's because I had the surgery. He came over. He bought me flowers, which is really nice. Something that I used to force this nigga to do. And we just chilled. But I realized I didn't want him to touch me.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's not just the surgery. I just didn't want him to touch me. It's like, and I felt like how I felt about him when we first started becoming, like when we were friends.
Right.
Which was, I only want you to touch me when I want you to touch me kind of thing. But it was like, I don't like hanging out with you. And now, like, we used to spend all these days together. We always, for the past, the whole time we've been together, 5 months, we spent the same days together. So it was very weird that the first week trying to get used to, like, not spending these days with him. So we're going to hang out tomorrow. A, it's cool because with this surgery, which I didn't mention, one of the healing things is I can't have sex for a month. And that's because when they remove a big piece of cervix, it forms a scab. You don't want to touch that scab. So no sex, no bathing, nothing in the vagina. And the healing process is just very, a lot of blood. And then also like watery discharge. My pussy don't get wet no more at all.
Oh, wow.
Which is not normal. I've been masturbating and everything, but my pussy do not get wet, which is very different for me. So it's just a lot of changes or whatever. And I was like, you know, does that contribute to how I feel about him? And when I feel better, would I feel different? But I'm like, you know what? I think this is okay because it's keeping my mind clear. But the thing is, right, boom. So South by Southwest. Let's back it up to March. I went on this group, right, Black people on Facebook, and I was like, any of y'all niggas in Texas? Because me and Sam were trying to link people and stuff, and only one person was. And we started talking. I thought we was going to smash in Texas. He never came, dumped my shit. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. The story of my life, right? But then we kept talking still, and we became very, very cool. At first, it was very sexual, even though we never met. But he's a real person because he's met some other people that I know. But we started talking every day after a couple months. Small talk, but talking every day regardless. Facebook. Then it became, let me get your number. So then we started texting every day. Then we started FaceTiming. But then when me and Mark decided, you know, a few episodes ago that we were going to be monogamous, I was like, all right, cool. We got to, like, tone Lock this shit off. Down because I'm like, I don't, like, I like you, but I really love this nigga and I don't want to hurt him. So we toned it down like a lot, at least really tried to. But I can't act like I didn't have like feelings for him, which is interesting because I didn't think that I did until I had to force myself to not like talk to him. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I kind of like this nigga, which was kind of confusing because we were supposed to meet up. We were going to go to DC and hang out. And we weren't going to have sex. I knew I was going to have the surgery for a while. I wasn't going to have sex, right? And one of my best friends was going to come. But then I was like, all right, cool. Especially since I'm being monogamous. I don't think I should go. So I was just going back and forth in my head. Should I go? Should I go? Should I go? Should I go? How should I tell Mark? Should I tell Mark? Like a lot of fucking feelings. So then I decided to tell Mark while we were still together.
Yeah.
I'm going to DC. I'm meeting up with this guy. We used to talk. We don't talk. I'm going for one day.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to stay. I was going to go from the morning time to the evening time and come back. That way we can ensure that nothing would happen. And I'm like, and I really care for him as a friend. We have very similar things happening in our lives as far as like cancer-ish things, as far as he's in the military, we have military things. There's a lot of things that are very similar between us. So it's very nice to have that.
Right.
But then when me and Mark broke up, it was like, okay.
I'm open,
right?
Yeah.
And I mean, while me and Mark were together, he did tell me like that he had feelings for me and that he think like he wants to move to New York when he's out the military, like I want to date you kind of thing. But that'd be like in a year. I was like, bitch, that's so far. Who wants to think about that far? But he's like, but I really like you, like It's only because that's the only way this could work.
I see.
You know, if I live there, but like, I just want you to know that kind of thing. But then it's just evolved a lot to the point where it's like, we love each other.
Oh, shit.
It's been hard because it's confusing. That's the confusing part, right? Is that I don't know if I was even in love with Mark. Right. Or if I just really loved him and he just seemed compatible. And I don't want to label it like I'm infatuated with the nigga. He makes me feel really good.
Aww.
Like really, really good in like a really healthy way.
Aww.
And
seems
a way
like a
that,
healthy nigga, I'll say that.
Yeah, like
he washes his butt, and I know that for a fact.
Yes, he does.
It's important.
He does, and he's queer. Yeah. So like that's like also like really like cool because I'm like cool. We get to talk about like
that's cool
queer shit, and you understand he's very like woke and knowledgeable. I don't have to explain a lot of shit to him. Right. Like we know we being problematic type shit, but it's just. That's like the confusing thing because even when we were friends, he would do and say the things that I wanted Mark to do and say.
Ooh.
And I one day told him, like, he's like, da da da, but when I come to New York, like, I'll be there for like, I'll be physically there. You can come to me and vent to me. Like, but I'm like, bitch, it has a year and B, you're not my boyfriend.
Mm.
He's like, but I want to be. And I was like, oh.
Don't say things like that, nigga.
But then. We broke up and it, you know, but I'm like, I'm happy that I know, like at the time, like I'm happy I know because I don't want this to be like, bitch, you fucking burning up inside.
If I don't say things like that, I'm like, do say
yes,
please
bitch,
do say things like
my fucking
that.
Relationship. But he's like, he, when me and Mark broke up, he felt really bad because he felt like he contributed
to
the breakup in a way. He contributed in a way that I was. Coming to the reality, like, my nigga, you don't have to settle like for the things that bother you. Like, you can be loved the way you want to be loved because you got this nigga doing it for you. And he in fucking Texas. So if your boyfriend who lives right here, who spends all this time with you, can't do these very basic things that you want, why are you still here?
That's a word.
If you don't have to be.
That's a real word.
And not to say that, oh, I left him so I could be with this nigga. That's absolutely not the case. We're not like.
It just opened up your mind to the fact that like this, oh, because when you did get together with Mark, you were coming off of something else.
Yeah, that abusive ass relationship. Yeah.
And just feeling like, damn, like, is it ever going to happen? And feeling very romantically lonely.
I was like, rah!
Yeah, you're extremely romantically lonely. So I get why, like, not saying that you don't have love for Mark or did love Mark or anything like that, but I understand why you might like attach to that at first because you were like scared.
Yeah, and I mean, and he, I can't, like, I'm never ever gonna deny, like, this nigga loves me. I know he does.
Mm-hmm. Wait, who?
Mark.
Oh, okay.
Like, I not in like a defensive, like, no, what are you talking about? Like, no, he, I know he loves me. He just doesn't love me
the way
in the way that I wanna be loved.
That's very important.
I didn't have to tell the other guy how to love me. He just kind of did it. So it was like.
Seems more like a natural fit that you don't have to, like, fight for,
mm-mm.
as you said.
That's
or
why I'm
force,
like, I don't
rather.
Know if this shit is real. I told the nigga I don't believe him. I was like, I don't know what the fuck you want from me.
Grain of salt.
But yeah, it's like, I feel it and I do feel it. But I be like, ah, my nigga, this shit's just too, like, also, I'm like, it's too good to be true. Like,
just go with the flow.
And that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm like, I'm not trying to rush anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet him in DC. We're going to see what it feels like in real life. We're going to see what happens in between now. When he moves to New York, I'm like, you don't know what's going to happen. I might meet the love of my life. You might meet the love of your life. I might realize I hate everybody. I'm going to fucking Sandra's real fast. Like, we don't know.
There's something to, like, life where a lot of what we think of, we think about it in like a finite or whatever, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that. I mean, that changes with your ideals of what you want in your life ultimately. So if you do want like a partner for the rest of your life, then this kind of complicates that. But like, you can just enjoy things for what they are, when they are, and when they're not that anymore, you move on.
Exactly. And that's what I'm doing. I don't know if that's necessarily what he's doing. But that's what I'm doing. I love this.
Yeah.
I love having somebody to video chat and somebody tell me all these super cute things. And it's really nice. And I can't wait to actually meet him. I mean, I don't know. It's like one thing that like bothers me is that he's not aware sometimes of his like pretty privilege. So he's like, you know, I don't know when people are attracted to me.
Everybody's attracted to you, nigga.
My nigga, come on.
I
you
hate
are
niggas like that,
he
bro.
Is conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, cool. I told him that yesterday. It's like, you can't be that fucking oblivious, my nigga. And you get mad ass. I don't have that much sex. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And you can't be oblivious to these things because then that makes me more self-conscious. Because like, how could all these things happen? And I know that bitches be feeding over you because I see it. But then you're like, I don't know when people like me. When niggas are like, I like you. I like you. I don't know when people like me. So that's like the part that makes me a little wary because I'm like, I know that you're beautiful. Everybody else knows that you're beautiful. I understand being self-conscious, and I'm never going to knock that. You can be the most beautiful person on earth and still have your own insecurities. But you do have to understand, even if you have your own insecurities about yourself, you in this world are considered a conventionally attractive person, mm-hmm. and people are attracted to you more often than not. Mm-hmm. So you gotta like really get that in your head and remember that, and remember that in the context of when you're talking to somebody who's not considered conventionally attractive. Mm-hmm. Cause I ain't it, chief. Like, I'm cute as fuck, but niggas don't be knowing that shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have real self-conscious things that are not just rooted in how people view me sexually, but how I'm viewed in society.
Yeah.
And how I have to navigate the world a little bit more different because I am right. significantly more dark skinned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, but that be the thing about dating light skinned niggas sometimes.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? So that'd be the whole thing about light-skinned people. And ooh. We already, bitch, shut up the fuck up. You know that shit. But it's one thing when you're light-skinned and you know, and it's another thing when you're light-skinned and you're just completely oblivious to the things that are happening around you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna, like, when people who are oblivious like that, you'll be in a room and you'll be with your man and bitches just be flirting. He just be smiling up in niggas' faces and shit. And you're just like, what are you talking about? My nigga, she literally said, can you put your face on my pussy right here? And you were like, ha ha ha.
I was just
like,
being nice to the girl.
You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, cool. That shit would drive me insane.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, all right, when do I stop feeling self-conscious?
I see.
So we'll see.
On the next episode of Robin Ball Z. Robin Ball.
Rob has another boyfriend for the 15th time. This one's the one. Next episode, I hate this nigga. Next episode, this one's the one.
A self-drag.
It's true. We love to see it. It's sad, but...
That's life, man.
It should be confusing as fuck.
Alright, we're going to go into our last segment now, which is
Fuck You.
The segment about the segment where we talk about your sex, love, and dating lives and read your listener letters. And if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns. Did you listen to the last episode? Did you hear that story with the weird sex predator comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, right, I heard the fuck out of that.
This is an update to that story. All right. So if you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to go back just one episode and listen to that segment, and that'll inform you of what we're talking about right now. So this is an update from Gene, and Gene writes, hi, you guys. So I just listened to the episode, and honestly, I feel so not smart. He was a huge creep, and I was more worried over the condoms than his sex predator comments. Sometimes I can be easily manipulated, even if I should know better. And that's a problem that I'm trying to fix on the daily. Almost everyone I know says I overreact over everything, so when he said it was a joke, I didn't want to seem like I was overreacting. But like you guys said, joke or not, it's not all right. Clearly it wasn't, and when I first felt uncomfortable when he said my age during sex, I should have cut ties with him then and there. I blocked his number since you guys emailed me back. Not to dive into my personal life or anything, but I have no sisters, my mom isn't around, and I never tell my friends my problems because I start to feel like a burden. I've always tried to figure people out on my own, and it explains why my taste in others is usually trash. You know what? It doesn't explain that. But we're going to get into that. Because as we said, like, we have trash taste mm-hmm. in people who we chose. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't have sisters, but my mom was around, and I have great friends, and people uplift me all the fucking time.
Nigga, you can have everybody.
You can have every support system in the world, so including yourself.
Still truth, the worst dude on earth.
Yeah. More about that later. I feel disgusted for ever letting him touch me. I appreciate you guys for responding to me, even if my situation was very unsettling. The whole situation with him will be something I look back on in a few years and cringe. Keep doing what you guys are doing, and I hope your podcast gains more popularity because y'all deserve it. Heart, signed, Gene. Thank you. I hope that too. Because it's hot in here.
Fact.
And I need like a cool AC. Like an AC that doesn't have fucking sound.
The AC doesn't roar at you like a lion. Leo season.
Not a fucking window AC, man.
And yes, you will cringe for the rest of your life, I guarantee you.
You will, but I don't want you to like always think about that from a place of like, oh man, I fucked up. Because like, you're mad young, bro. She's 19.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like, And even like not being young, first of all, I say this all the fucking time. My little brother talks about it. He's like, shut the fuck up about this fact. Your brain is not full. Your frontal lobe is not fully developed until you're 25.
Nigga. Yeah. 25.
And then even still, like, you're still like learning shit as you, like, it's right now.
So, neuroplasticity.
Having done this podcast for like 4 years, right now where I'm like, okay, that emoji shit is a permanent red flag. Me, maybe like a year and a half ago, would have been like, all right, but if he slides back, like, let's play around. Let's play around. Yeah. It's a learning process, man. And like, people, like, I hate sounding like the Bible, but people trespassing against you isn't particularly your fault. Like, he's a fucked up guy who was doing fucked up things. Mm-hmm. And because you are a person who was like, this is what I was talking about with Rebecca the other day. Like, you are a person who's willing to see the good in people or believe that most people are good. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to be good to you. And you just didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You're just being a normal human being, not expecting people to be sociopaths to you or sex predators to you. Facts. So you'll cringe because he's disgusting, but I don't want you to cringe like, why did I do that?
Internalized cringe.
Exactly. I don't want that.
So let me real fast. When I was 15, I met a graffiti writer who was very famous. Mm-hmm. He was white, but I thought he was super attractive. Yeah. He sent me a dick pic. I was 15 years old.
How old was he?
30. Maybe older.
Yeah.
When I got older, when I was 21, and I was an adult, came home from my deployment, and I decided to meet up with him, and we ended up having sex.
Mm-hmm. How old were you then?
21.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
So, yeah, he was in his mid-late 30s. Okay. Like, yeah.
Early 40s.
21? No, it was only 7 years. Okay. So yeah, he was in his like late 30s. Okay. So still fucking old, grown ass man with a child. Mm-hmm. And while we were having sex, he referred to me like as a baby and said that he's always wanted me ever since I met you at 15.
Disgusting.
And I was mad drunk, so I didn't think nothing of it. And I didn't think anything of it for a while. I think I kind of blocked it out of my head.
There you go.
But then when I finally realized, he already had naked pictures and videos of me and then would taunt me with them and send them to me. When I look back at it, I felt bad. I was like, bitch, how did this nigga send you a dick pic at 15? Girl, that was a red flag. Like, how did you not fucking know that? You know? But no, nigga, I was 15.
You were a kid.
I was
15.
I was asking for dick pics because I was on MySpace.
You were a kid.
I didn't think that a 30-year-old man would send me one.
Right.
I was getting them from other 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds sending dick and tit pics. We was all 15, stupid.
Yeah, kicking.
Not a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Who, and I was like, wow, that's big because I've seen only a handful of penises, and he's like, no, it's not that big. Weird, right? Because he's conversing about his penis, you feel me?
Yeah,
you knew what
he responded
doing.
To a dick pic call from
a 15 year old on MySpace.
Yeah,
knowing that I was 15, everybody knew I was 15, and then me having sex with him and him saying those things and then keeping the videos and pictures and sending them to me while I was in a relationship with somebody else. Creeps are creeps, and that was three different instances where nothing was my fault.
Everyone always says I overreact. I wanted to respond to that because you know your gut instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if something is an overreaction, it's because you deem it an overreaction. And it's up to you to unpack why you're fucking feeling certain things. Mm-hmm. So like this morning when I was like in the group chat, like when you see everything and it just makes you fucking roll your eyes, was what I seeing worthy of me rolling my eyes? I don't know, but I felt that way. And that's a legitimate feeling that I have to go through in my head. So like, don't fucking gaslight yourself in the moment. Your body is doing things and you're feeling this type of way for a fucking reason. There's something going off in your brain for a reason. So don't just push it out of the way like, oh, this is what other people say about me, so I'm overreacting in this moment. No, analyze why you're overreacting. And maybe you might not be overreacting because you fucking weren't in that instance. There's no judgment here. Yeah, I'm glad that you cut this nigga out of your life because that was fucking
good
disgusting,
riddance.
Man. Yeah. Okay, so this is IG Sister Saga, and I want to give a content warning for an abusive relationship and self-harm. So my younger sister, 26, and I have a rocky relationship. She feels like I don't like her, and I'm always trying to tell her what to do. Her dating relationships aren't usually the healthiest. She blocked me on Snapchat, but I was told that she posted a photo with a very old man at a hotel. I said it looks like she was escorting, which is fine, but often she's very gullible. I don't want her to know that my friend told me about what she posted, but I also want her to be safe because she isn't the most mature 26-year-old. There have been several times where I had to try to get her out of unsafe situations. I also don't really date men. I've only been in a relationship with women, so I don't know what to say. I just want her to feel safe. So what should I do? She sent us this on Instagram, so I asked for more information. So this is more clarification that she gave after this. She's a very beautiful woman and is usually dating someone or in a relationship. Sometimes she gets tired of the person and she ghosts/drops them, and other times she can't get over them. At 21, she was married and she cheated, so her husband started to physically attack her. He only married her for papers when they had known each other for 1 month and decided to get married. So I picked her up from the house and let her stay with me. Here's another instance. She met a guy off of Tinder, a clear narcissistic man who said he was 20 years old, who lived 2 hours away. After weeks of knowing him, she decides to quit her job, move in with him, and he would go through her phone. When I called her, he would answer the phone happy and tell her that I was too controlling. I had my girlfriend drive up there to go check out the area, and the neighbor said that the house was raided a few days ago and the man is not who he says he is. He lied about his age, occupation, etc. He ended up driving her back to my house, but I had to keep begging her to trust me on this one. I don't necessarily know that she is escorting. Maybe she just likes to date older men because I didn't actually see the snap. However, according to my friend who did see the snap, it's not the first time she's posted pictures of her being in that specific hotel. She also has low self-esteem and has tried to hurt herself a couple of times in the past years. She falls in love easily and gets depressed easily too. I can be kind of controlling, but it's coming from a place of love. I'm her older sister and I've kind of always supported her financially. I'm trying to figure out how to be her sister and also try to steer her in the right way, because currently she's living in my house and not paying any rent or contributing much, so I have to be stern with her. Also, our mom is around, but I believe she has Asperger's and is very childlike. She's not much of a support and didn't provide much guidance in life. My mom married our dad, who was 20 years older, and I don't remember much of our childhood. My sister did tell me recently that she thought I hated her when we were younger because I would always hit her and discipline her and tell her what to do. We're only 4 years apart. She's 26. I'm 30. I just want her to be safe. What should I do? Thanks again.
One thing I can say is that hitting... Mm-hmm. inter-sibling violence. Mm-hmm. I know that has traumatized me. Mm-hmm. To the point where I just don't even bother talking to one of my brothers anymore.
Right.
That could be one thing, because you're not that many years apart, which is like the part that I never really understand.
Right.
But now I do understand that hitting comes from a place of aggression, but mm-hmm. also truly believing mm-hmm. that inflicting pain would make a difference. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, even though it's not an innocent thing to do, it comes from like a very caring place, which mm-hmm. is like, it's a real fucked up thing to like unpack or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with that, it's like, you're not her parent.
Right.
So a part of it is like, she wants to talk to you, but she's like, I can't talk to you, my nigga, like, because you're going to act like my parent.
Right.
And you're not my parent. Mm-hmm. And I need a sister and not a parent. Mm-hmm. And like, then it becomes the thing where I'm not going to tell you anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to leave you on the fucking outside. I'm gonna hit you up when I need you, because mm-hmm. I know you're going to do for me.
Right.
But as far as advice goes, I don't really want to listen to you, because my nigga, trauma be running deep, boy. And yeah. What you may think felt like discipline to her may have felt like abuse, because you're almost the same age. Four right. years is so fucking insignificant after a while, especially as kids.
Yeah.
Like, it makes a difference, and it don't make no fucking difference, because you're mm-hmm. looking up like, bitch, you're really not that much older than me. Why the fuck you hitting me?
Right.
How much more do you know about life than I do that right. you have the right to hit me?
Yeah.
And I think that's one place to apologize, because you know.
Right.
Since you just said it, you know, mm-hmm. you should probably start there. Mm. And you should probably, before you try to fix her, mm-hmm. try to fix your relationship. Because it seems like there's a lot of unpacking, like, besides your mother, you in right. your relationship, you're being her financial support, but you don't even understand where you stand in her life.
Yeah.
And that's on some you need to take. Even if you got to leave the house, bitch, we going somewhere. Mm-hmm. She got no money. Like, mm-hmm. probably go with you. But like, we're going somewhere and we're going to really talk. Mm. And you're going to tell me how you feel about me. Besides that, I hate you.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can tell understand me why. That, right? And not just that
and
I hate you.
Fix this?
How do you feel about me now?
Yeah.
Because you know I don't hate you, because I'm doing all these things for you. So how do you feel about me now? Like, truly. Mm-hmm. And what can I do
yeah,
to
what
help
do you
my relationship
need
with
from
you?
Yeah.
Not to help you. Mm-hmm. Because we can figure that out later, mm-hmm. but we need to work on us first. That's like trying to fix a relationship with like somebody, but we're not going to talk about our relationship, only how we going to make you a better wife, mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's like, mm-hmm. how am I going to make you a better sister to me and make me more comfortable with the things that you do? No, mm-hmm. like, you got to work on your bond. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
That's good. I think that's good advice. I don't think, because she is an adult, and although she does live with you, you can't control anybody. You can't control mm-mm. kids. So I think if you do want to be like this kind of like guide in her life, you have to get to a place where she actually like even is receptive of whatever the fuck you're telling her.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the escort thing, I don't know if she's doing that. I don't know if she's like in an unsafe situation in that she's doing that.
Probably acts.
Yeah. I don't know if she's going to tell you that though.
Yeah.
I don't think she's comfortable enough with letting her sister know. If she actually is doing it, I don't think that they're in a place right now where she's comfortable telling her about it.
She blocked her and everything, right?
Yeah. So like maybe like, I mean, sometimes I'll watch people from afar just to see if like everything's good and mm-hmm. if things are like fucked up or whatever, like you're in a dangerous spot or something like mm-hmm. that, like then step in, but like maybe just like peep from afar what's going on and mm-hmm. like don't let her know that though, because she's gonna be like, that's very invasive.
Yeah,
but still like you want to like fucking be able to support. Maybe like after this series of talks, it's gonna be a series of talks, mm-hmm. like you have mad shit to unpack, you might even consider going to like family therapy or something. Yeah,
if you have access to that.
Yeah. BetterHelp has that. If you want to do teletherapy, that's one of our sponsors, not for this episode, but like seriously, like I use it and I think it's a pretty good service. But yeah, maybe like don't ask her specifically like what she's doing or something like that, but just like do you mind like sharing your location with me just in case anything happens? Like
mm-hmm.
let's do one for one, like let's protect each other out here, because I don't know what you're doing. It's not my place to tell you what to do, but I do know that niggas out here are crazy. Mm-hmm. So just in case some crazy stuff does happen, I want to be there to support you. Mm-hmm. Not judging what you do, I just want to be able to support you. So maybe like little nudges like that. That's all I have for now.
Yeah, it's really just the real that talking and fostering that comfortable relationship, because you're also going to have to be honest too.
Yeah,
there's going to be no way that you're going to expect her to really be so open with you that she's willing to tell you what kind of person she's dating, or if she is escorting, and if she is or was or like in an unsafe, dangerous situation, mm-hmm. if you're not willing to also be extremely vulnerable to and extremely transparent about things such as your relationships mm-hmm. or such as your past experience in dangerous situations that you've been in. So yeah. It's like, I'm comfortable enough to tell you this so that A, you're comfortable enough to talk to me, because now it's quid pro quo, this for that. Mm-hmm. And also so that you know that I've been through really traumatic things too.
Mm-hmm.
So your trauma isn't new to me.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been through traumatic things, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. But you have to still be able to be open and vulnerable, and also be able to handle mm-hmm. things that she might tell you. She might tell you some shit that you really like, you don't want to hear, that you don't approve of, people that you don't want her to date. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it be like that. Like,
that's just life.
It is. Like, it's just the risk of loving somebody.
Yeah.
Is that you got to love them no matter what.
Yeah.
And be there to pick up the pieces if you want to be that kind of sister. Because you don't got to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can be estranged from your sister all you want to be.
Yeah, you can. But obviously you're writing it.
Yeah, you want to be there. So you got to. It's work.
Yeah.
It's more work than just supporting. Support isn't support if it's literally just financial. I'm mm-hmm. giving you a place to live. I'm trying to convince you to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's support, it's motivation.
Yeah.
It's finding resources.
Yeah.
Even if you got to help her get a job mm-hmm. or, you know, just do something productive, you know, because you ain't getting no money from her. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like if you escort, you ain't, like where that money going kind of thing. But if you're not complaining about that, mm-hmm. if you're okay with her living under your roof and not paying anything, mm-hmm. there still needs to be some kind of exchange
mm-hmm.
because you're not also not an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, cool. If you're going to be living here, like there's rules.
Yeah.
So that might even convince you to get your shit together so you can be on your own 2 feet. Yeah,
that's another thing. Sometimes, like, because she is, like, a, what you say, immature 26-year-old or whatever, and that might be because of your upbringing or whatever, sometimes, like, rules and regimen helps people get into
mm-hmm.
shape.
And then you can be like, into shape, I don't fucking like these rules. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you gotta get your shit together to get out.
Yeah, it's something. Like, sometimes, like, people can't grow if you don't, like, give them a motivation mm-hmm. to actually gotta grow.
Push them out the fucking nest. Yeah. Sometimes the birds literally die on the floor. Okay. But a good amount of times, like, they really do be fucking flying and they live to poop on your car another day.
Yeah.
And more than likely, that's what will happen. But you still acknowledge that I'll be there in case you can't make it out there in the world. I'll be there.
I want to go back to what you said about, like, whether or not the person who wrote into us has been through something traumatic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have or anything like that, but I'm assuming the allusion to that in this message was when they were like, I don't really date men, so I don't know what that's like. And we all know men can be super fucking toxic. Mm. And the fact that the writer in didn't give us like a parallel in their life where they're like, I have experienced that. Mm. So I don't really know what the answer is yet, but like, something that your sister might be fearful of telling you is the fact that like she knows that you haven't been through the type of shit that she goes through. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes like within siblings, it's like, okay, well, this is like the fucking perfect ass sibling. And I don't even feel like I can relate to the perfect ass sibling because they're always on some perfect shit. Like you have your girlfriend who's out here like driving me down from my abusive boyfriend. And that makes me feel fucking embarrassed. So I don't know what the solution for that is yet, but it's something worth figuring out in your relationship dynamic, because she mm-hmm. definitely very may well feel like that.
Yeah, and that's completely like understandable.
Yeah,
like I can't be like you.
Exactly. So no matter what I do, like I'm not fucking gay. I wish I could date women, but I can't.
I don't like women. We all do. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, just, and even if you find like common things to do, mm-hmm. like cool. I mean, I don't know. Y'all niggas can listen to this podcast, probably skip this episode, or find a show that you like, or something that's also routine, mm-hmm. so that you have a reason to sit down next to each other.
Eat dinner if together. Make dinner together. You live in the same house. Boom.
Because that has been something that's been really like helpful to me of getting like us to talk. We eat. All right, mm-hmm. we done eating, but you full. You stuck. Let's chat. You know, or you just create the instance so that now you know mm-hmm. when you are ready to talk, you know for a fact this is time that we got together. So, all right, bitch, I'm ready to open up now. It might take forever. Mm-hmm. It might not take forever. Like, it's just, it's time.
Yeah.
But as long as she knows that you out here willing, like, not just willing to take care of her, but willing to be there, like, more than just a parental figure.
Yeah.
Like, niggas is 26. Niggas don't need parents. Yeah. At that point, they mm-hmm. really need somebody they could fucking relate to.
Mm-hmm. Send us updates. All right. Let's close the show, please.
If you would like to follow your boys on social media, Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram, Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter. We are facebook.com/InnerHoe Uprising on Facebook, and we have a Facebook community. So join that. That is on our Inner Hoe Uprising page on Facebook. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter exclusively. I am Rob_God on Twitter. If you do listen to this, and I did reactivate my Instagram, if you want to follow me on Instagram, panafrican.bootyscratcher, maybe reactivated sometime this year. And yeah, that's it. Oh, Vanta.black with a Q for my Instagram, which still exists. So follow that definitely.
SlamRid, Instagram and Twitter. Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. I post very funny things on my Instagram story.
Sam does. And then she'll post the wildest thirst trap. Yo, it's, I actually go through your page.
Funny memes and like floss your teeth.
Floss your teeth. Tips.
Random. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever seen me like your pictures from that long ago?
No.
Because I go through your page all the time. So it's like Sam posts the most crazy poses. It just be mad yeeks. Sam is some cute. I'm like, my fuck never takes pictures of me this fucking cute. And I began tight. That's why I don't even post anything. It's because of me like fucking squat pics in army uniform.
You gotta get a cooler.
Yeah, well, I'll hire her. Hirekua.com. Bye, motherfuckers.
Bye.
Love you.